from among us, who has been an eyewitness with us from the baptism of Jesus to his resurrection. It was a legal requirement of the Beth Din. And so when those 12 stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, who was crucified and raised again, and we 12 are the witnesses, that had legal status in the argument. The fact was considered indisputable. And the fact of the resurrection is indisputable to this day. Now, there's another type of witness, and we're going to enjoy this one. It comes out of John chapter 9. I know it's inconvenient to open your Bible when you can just look up on the projection screen, but you might want to take notes in your Bible. Just a thought. And if you're plagued by the thought that he who adds to or takes away from this word would be guilty of the judgment of all of it, he ain't talking about you making notes in your Bible, all right? Now, I like this story. This is a great story because it is so full of human Christ and religion. And as humans who love Christ and have tasted religion, you are all in this thing. But I want to look at it carefully because it points to some stuff that will awaken us to the power of our testimony. Now, one of the ways that God chooses to demonstrate himself is when you speak what God has done. Because in the declaration of the speech, faith is released in others. Do you understand? John chapter 9, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was what? Blind from birth. Now, how many of you know that's a long time to be in darkness? And apparently, as we read on, this guy is well advanced in years. And his disciples ask him, saying, Rabbi, we have been taught theologically by our religion that there are those who are blessed and cursed. Those who do well are blessed, and those who have sin in their life, they're cursed. So tell us, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? A religious, theological presupposition was the undergirding of this particular question, to which Jesus said, pshaw, there's nothing to that. This man did not sin. Neither did his parents sin. But this stuff that happens in life is here that God may be glorified. How many of you know stuff happens? Despite your... Well, God, how come they had to rip off my car? I'm a tither. You're supposed to protect me when I pay my extortion money at church. I see the light of illumination dawning within you. Stuff happens. And stuff happened to this man's life. He was born blind. Now, interesting to me, in the King James Version, the first word in verse 4 is I. What does yours say? Do you have we? We. In the interlinear, in a Greek interlinear, you'll find the word us. So let's stick with the more common interpretation, translation of this verse. It says, we must work the works of him who sent me. Now look at the implication of that. We must work the works of him who sent me. You will recall that later on, Jesus will say, of these men, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Even when they weren't conscious of it, he was already prepping them for the turnover of his works into their hands. Who sent me while it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, let me ask you something. Is Jesus still in the world? Where is he to be seen? It's expedient for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. And when he comes, he will be with you and shall be in you. Now, where's the head? seated at the right hand of the Father. Where's the body? Is the body headless? What's the nervous system that connects the commands of the head to the body? God, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is still in the earth as long as we're here. And as long as we're here, there is light in the world because we have been made a city set on a hill, a light that cannot be hidden. Don't miss these things. So, interestingly enough, there's no record of the blind man saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. It says, rather, Jesus did an unclean act. He spat. He took the spittle, mixed it with dirt, and put it on the eyes of the blind man. And then he said to the blind man, who's probably by now asking, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? The man is there begging alms, and he gets mud in his eye. Jesus said to him, he anointed the man with mud. Now that's something to struggle with. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he went and washed, and he came back with his eyeballs working. For the first time in all of his life, he could see. Now, people don't respond well to change. They just don't. Particularly when it's supernatural change. Things for which they have no logical, reasonable explanation. And so, the first people to get upset that he could now see were his neighbors. Therefore, the neighbors and those who had previously seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, yep, it's me. To which they respond, well, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, well, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go wash. And I went and washed and I received his sight. And they said, where is he now? We'd like to meet this guy. Where'd he go, this fellow Jesus guy? I don't know. Obviously, they weren't satisfied with that answer because they now drag him to the religious leaders. Surely the religious leaders will be happy that a man who could do nothing but beg for his livelihood can now see and become a productive part of society. Don't you think that would be a reasonable response? Let's see what religion's got to say about this. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees, and now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the... Uh-oh. Trouble's coming. It was the Sabbath when Jesus made a couple of mud balls. Making mud balls is not part of honoring the Sabbath, you understand? Think about it. Your kids go outside and soil their Sunday clothes with grass stains, and you're livid. And you don't even honor the Sabbath as a legalistic right. Now, it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. The Pharisees also asked him again how he received his sight. And he said, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I could see. Have we heard this before? Is he giving testimony to an encounter with God? Oh, yes, that's what he's doing. And the Pharisees, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. You guys just don't appreciate the drama in this story, I can tell. I mean, these guys are defenders of the law at the expense of God and his people. They're serious about this stuff. Others said, well, how can a man who's a sinner do such sign? And there was division among them. What's one of the first fruits of supernatural intervention of God in the life of humans? Division. Why? Because somebody's got something to lose if it's true. I remember my grandmother, God rest her soul, coming to the large charismatic church we were a part of back when we didn't even understand what had happened to us. And there were people giving testimony that day about God having healed them. And as I took my boldness over the lunch table to inquire of my grandmother what she thought about those testimonies, she gave me an answer that continues to guide me in my relationship with religious people. She said, how do I know they were sick? Now here are folks standing up saying, he touched me and I'm changed. And the religious mindset says, well, they didn't demonstrate their illness to me. Now, I want to ride this for a moment because it's an important part of what's happening in this hour right here with us today. The indictment of God in Isaiah chapter 6, repeated by Jesus in Matthew 13, was this: seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear. It does not say that they didn't see, and it does not say that they didn't hear. It says they refuse to see anymore, and they refuse to hear anymore, because they'd seen all they needed to reach their conclusions and heard all they needed to substantiate their position. And that, friends, is being blind and deaf to the reality of God. When someone comes and says to you, Jesus touched me and I've been changed, and your response is, well, I'm not sure I believe you needed touching, you have a problem. And I'm telling you, it's a huge problem, because you've just put God on trial by your standard, and he's not going to fit well there. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. There was division among them. The blind man said, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, well, I think he must be a prophet. And they said, no, we don't believe that. But he had been blind. He had received his sight. So they called his parents. And they said, is it true this guy was born blind? Now the drama thickens. How then does he see? We don't believe him. You tell us what happened. Well, his parents answered, we know this is our son. We know that he was blind. But what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. Go back to the one who got touched. Now, why did they say that? Because they were afraid. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue, and to be put out of the synagogue was pretty much the kiss of death for any hope of eternal life for a practicing Jew. Therefore, his parents said, well, he's of age, ask him. So they called the man in again, and they said, give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. And he answered them and said, now here is the power of your testimony, folks. He answered them and said, well, all I know is this. Whoever he is, I was blind, and now I see. And when it's yours, you don't much care how they respond, because when it's your cancer that falls off, when it's your eyes that see, when it's your ears that pop open, when it's your leg that grows out, when it's your wife that's raised from the dead, when it's your baby that's delivered safely through a troublesome pregnancy, you have a testimony of hope and faith. And when others hear it, those who have ears to hear will see faith, feel it, sense it rise up in them, that God will do that for me too. That's the power of testimony. Now, check this out. I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? Well, you know, that's a pretty good notion. It's just not going to fly in the face of religion, because religion always comes against the anointing. The man answered and said, oh, they say, verse 29, I love this. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. Now, understand something. This was a blind guy sitting on the corner begging for his livelihood. Jesus comes along and touches him, and all of a sudden he's emboldened to take on the religious system of his culture. Look at what he says here. I love this. The man answered and said, and I'm sure there's just a hint of sarcasm. Why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes. Here's what's being said. Isn't it interesting that I who was blinded can now see clearly, and those who had your sight can't see at all? It's the difference between revelation and reason. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said, "You're completely born in your sins and you're teaching us." And they cast him out. And let me tell you something. All he was teaching them is what they had taught him before. Do you understand? He didn't say anything that wasn't part of the Jewish understanding of God. And when he repeated it back to them in the presence of the reality of God, they wouldn't accept their own teaching. As a former Southern Baptist, I can tell you, we believed very strongly God could do anything up until the point He actually did something. I kid you not. We were fine with the theory that God could heal until He healed, and then it just squirreled us. Because why this one and not that one? How did it happen? What's the methods? How's the formula? It can't be God. You must be of the devil. Because God sends sickness to teach His character. My question is, where does He get it? Because there's not anywhere He is. Just a thought. Well, I want to submit to you that the power of testimony is a real power in the earth. And the power of God's testimony on your lips is genuine. And moments ago, I had two mics. Al's got one and Jim's got one. Look at that. You guys are so slick. I didn't even see you coming. And already you're ready to serve. Aren't they great? These guys are great. Now then, I'm going to entertain some testimonies from last week. That is, from as far away as last Saturday night. But I'm not going to entertain your life story about how you got up to last Saturday night. Let that sink in. What you're going to be encouraged to do is tell us what the need was, what God did last week to meet the need, and the difference you've seen in your life since the need was met. Okay? And if you try to slip in your life story, I'm going to cut you off. We're going to go to the next person while you reconsider how to come up with a Reader's Digest of your version of giving God the glory. Okay? Now, to help you, we'll start with some of the things that I do know about. Where is Louise? There she is. He's coming to you. You just raise your hand as we go along. If you think you've got one, go ahead and raise your hand so I'll get a sense of where to go next. But I know she's got a great one.
As the worship leader for last Sunday, I had put together what I felt like was the music, and during the week, Lanny had sent a brief email saying he wanted to do something different. So I went back and prayed over it, and the Lord gave me a couple of other things to do. So I felt like I was set for the music part of the service. And then when we got here, that's when I found out, oh, there's like no sermon after. We're only going to do music. I was like, well, okay, God, here's what I've got, and I have no clue whether it's going to work with what the actual deal for the day is. But the Lord was just so gracious as the morning played out that not only was, you know, the Holy Spirit really evident, but I really appreciated the fact that the songs that He gave me fit in exactly with the direction that Lanny wanted to go, and they were the right words at the right time to help you guys participate in what we were trying to do. So I just really appreciated the orchestration of the Holy Spirit in that whole thing.
Now that's a behind-the-scenes report, folks, and it's a good one. Duncan, I need to get one more person ahead, if you don't mind. I want you to come and let Jerry give us his perspective on what he was a part of last week. Brian, I want you to go sit with Duncan and help him.
Gosh, you never know what you're going to say until you get up. I think we have a decision to make when we come to worship and come with the body, and we can either stay where we are, or we can open up to the Lord. And I'm here to testify that if you open up to the Lord, you're going to see more. I mean, even if you try to hold it in, when you allow Him just the slightest opening. He'll flood through you. And so last Sunday, I opened up to the Lord, and it was neat. It was really good. But you have a decision to make at that time, whether you're going to go over or whether you're going to slide back to where it's comfortable for you. And so last Sunday was really neat for me because I got to pray for a whole lot of you. And I believe the Lord spoke in many of those instances. And it was really encouraging to me to be able to be involved again with ministering, you know, at that kind of a level. And 2 hours passed, and like this, I didn't even know what time it was. But I had been in his presence and in his service for a couple of hours, and it was refreshing for my soul. And the Lord is really moving in my life and in my ministry, and I'm excited to see what else he's going to do.
Amen. Amen. Al, if you'll take charge of this. Who was on the receiving end of that last week? You were? Are y'all willing to share something? Do you have something to share? Not about that? Yeah? What does that mean? And you, dear? No? No, 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 no. I was there, but no.
I will just testify that the Holy Spirit was definitely speaking through Jerry last week. I was standing up there and really didn't expect to be receiving. I felt like I was on the other side, but I was standing in line and Jerry came up to me and started speaking to me, and I just kind of wanted to look at him and ask him, where did he get his information? Because there was absolutely no way that he would know what I was going through and what was on my heart and what I was struggling with. And the Holy Spirit hit the nail on the head. And I thank you for being available for that, because it really blessed my heart.
Let's get Duncan's testimony. Go ahead. Give the Lord praise for that. Absolutely. That was pitiful. Go ahead. Give the Lord praise for that. Absolutely. Thank you. Oh, my Lord.
First, I'd like to ask a personal question. What's your name?
Brian.
Last week, Brian testified and prayed for me. I'm a poet, to tell you from the start. And after Brian prayed for me and some other people prayed for me here in the church, Mary and Keith, I wrote a poem on Monday, and I wrote a poem on Wednesday, and I wrote a poem on Saturday. And I gave them all a copy of it this morning, and they mean a lot to me. And I'll probably get them published. I've been published before, and I praise the Lord for his guidance and support.
Amen. Amen. Mary? Jim? Get Mary there. She's got to tell us.
Well, I've been kind of out of commission for a long, long time. And last Sunday, when we were ministering, I felt like I was alive for the first time in a long time. And I felt like I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing, when I was supposed to be doing it, and where I was supposed to be doing it. And it was awesome.
I'd like to hear something with more specificity about what you received from the Lord. Who's got some of that? There's one over there, and one over there, and one over there. Go ahead. Go ahead, Al. Brian will take that. You can catch. Go ahead and catch her, and then while you're doing that, we'll move over to the corner.
Just had an interesting experience with the Lord Sunday morning. And I wasn't particularly aware of what the Lord was up to, but it was one of those occasions in the presence of the Lord, you're really pleased you've been there. I had occasion during the week to note that I had opportunity, which was very specifically the Lord giving me a moment of grace, opportunity to encourage someone very specifically, which, that may not be a big deal for you, but that's kind of the nature of who I am. I'm a relational kind of guy, and to be able to be of some use to someone, particularly as an encouragement, is a deeply satisfying event. And so Sunday and Monday and Wednesday, these things happened, and I didn't put any particular tag to Sunday on it, and then Friday, and I was curious, is it one of those interpersonal relationship things, or does it happen just because it's the Lord? So I had this absolutely anonymous phone call at my office, somebody I'd never met. It was faceless through the whole thing, and the same thing happened again. A young lady, a sweet-spirited girl, is an NMCI tech for you guys who are Navy, calls me up, and we chatted, and while we were doing this 30-minute routine that was technical, we had the same thing happen. I had an opportunity to hear a little bit about her life, her baby, her family, her future, her hopes, her aspirations, the church she attended, and in the beginnings of her relationship with the Lord, and I had an opportunity to offer a word of encouragement there, which is pretty good, you know, because there's no question about, was it, you know, my personal charm? It was very pointed. The Lord showing me not only were we in His presence on Sunday morning, but there was a fruit of His labor in my heart and in my circumstance, for which I'm very particularly thankful, because bearing fruit is the joy of being in the Lord's presence.
Okay, Nikki, go.
Okay. I feel like I've been in a desert for a long time. And I was up there when Louise said that you had something planned, and I got all excited because I thought, I got to be part of this. And it was so wonderful to watch your faces when I was up there, because most of my time my eyes are down here, but to watch your faces just glowing. And then when Jerry came up and prayed for the ministry up there, and he came up and he said the Lord was pleased with what I was doing. I'm not a musician. I get thrilled that I get to be part of it just because I wiggle my fingers. But to feel like, yes, I have a place up there, and the Lord was happy with what I was doing. And this just bubbled over. So next Monday is school, and I go into first class, and I'm just bubbling from all that, and I pour it all over Jackie. And I said, you don't know what you missed. And so she's here today. So I'm excited.
I have two specific things that happened. And I'm going to backtrack just for a second. Lanny, you had invited some prophetic leaders from the community, of your community, a few months ago to come to minister to the leaders. And they had given a prophetic word over my husband and I about, this is the time. You're coming into the place where God has wanted you to be. He's prepared you for this time, and the doors are opening up, and you're going to walk through. Then life happens. Months, you know, weeks go by, and you see nothing happen, and you see, you know, the enemy strike and do whatever. And so last week, Pete was saying something about how he had demanded from God that if I'm going to do this, I want it to be, I can't remember exactly what he said, but I want it to be like, you know, 1,000%. I want to do it all or nothing. And I prayed the same thing. You know, Pete waited, I think, a year and a half before he got his confirmation. So I kept praying, came up to the front actually a little bit later and came praying. Jerry was walking off the stage, and I really don't think he intended on stopping at me, but I'm not sure, because, you know, here's me perspective looking out. And he wound up touching my hand as he was walking by and then turning around and coming back and praying over me and saying that God is pleased with you, or something to the effect that he knows what you want and he has given it to you. He gave me confirmation of exactly what I just asked for. And then he moved aside as Alexia came over and prayed for me, and she said, this is going to be entering a spirit of joy. This is a season of joy. And again, the enemy comes back and takes it away over the next few days, and I'm still waiting for the fulfillment of some of those things, but we've been also struggling financially, and some of what Alexia said bears fruit in the fact that I babysit somebody for free in the morning to get on the bus for an hour every day. And the reason I do it for free is because so many of you have blessed us for free to take care of our kids when we go on ministry things. And he came over during the week, I think Tuesday, and he said, here's a Christmas card. I put a little something in there for you. I'm like, oh, you didn't have to do that. I'm thinking, you know, $20 or something. He gave me $250. And like I said, we're struggling. So that was really a blessing. And then all week long, trying to make it short. We go to a Christmas party for the church every year. We go to a Christmas party for my husband's job every year, and I look forward to it every year. But this year I didn't have anybody to watch the kids. Thanks to the blessing of the Potts family, they watched my kids, and we were able to go. Every year at this party, they have three prizes for the employees. One's $100, one's $250, and one's $500. We never win. This year we won $250.
Pete, do you have a rebuttal?
No. No rebuttal. Not quite sure what I'm going to say because I hadn't planned on talking. But if you were here and you heard the little tie thing between Jerry and I, I've kind of, since then, I kind of keep my distance sometimes from Jerry. Because
plant that thing. Plant that mic on your chin so we can hear you, Pete.
Because I just feel the anointing on him, and I usually have to sit down when he gets near me. But the last two times he's been near me, it hasn't been that way. So things have normalized. I've been arguing with God. I argue with God a lot, and that's okay. It's okay with him. He told me it was. He'd rather me argue with him honestly than otherwise. I've been wrestling with him about something with worship, and I hesitate to talk about it because I haven't seen the end of it. I don't know what the Lord is relating, what he's trying to communicate to me. But that change in how I see worship, and like I said, folks, it's just something I've been wrestling with God and trying to figure out what he's telling me. And I haven't been talking to anybody about that in any specific way, certainly not Jerry. And when Jerry came around, and he was anointing people, and he came around on last Sunday, the word he had for me spoke exactly to what I've been speaking with God about in private. So to me, that's a wow.
Go ahead.
Well, I had one of those fun residue experiences this week. Last Sunday when stuff started to happen, I was sort of hanging in the back, and I was aware that I had a choice to stand back and watch, which I like to do. I like to do that. I like to watch people. I like to watch what's going on. And then the Lord whispered in my ear, well, you can watch or you can do. So I made the choice to come up and to present myself. And as I did, you know, people began to appear in front of me, and I prayed for them, and it was wonderful. I just really loved the feeling of Jesus putting me on and me getting to be his eyes and his hands and his mouth and say the things that he wants to say and pray over people. And it was really an enjoyable experience to be the conduit. And then we went downstairs. We had a wonderful time of fellowship with everyone who was able to stay. It was just that warmth just oozing, and the oil was still there, and you could just feel it among the people as we were visiting with one another. And I left, and I just felt the residue of that experience of him ministering through me. And it lasted all week. I woke up twice in the middle of the night this week, just awake and aware of the presence of the Lord, and just lie there in my bed at night in the dark, smiling. And he said some fun things, and I sang a few songs, and finally he let me go back to sleep. Well, Wednesday, I got a call out of the blue from someone who was calling from a hospital. They found the Assembly of God in the phone book, and said, please, can you come pray for me? I'm in real difficulty. I have some things going on with me. This person was troubled in their mind and was having trouble with alcohol and had some real problems, dramatic problems, problems that were out of my league, problems that were over my head, things I had no answers for. And as I sat listening, I was careful not to make any commitment to this woman on the phone, because my first rush of feeling was, oh, God, you know I can't do that. That's out of my league. I'll get in there, and I won't know what to say. I won't know what to do. And then what if the devil comes out of her at me? Because she has some real problems. And I took all the notes down and told her we'd see what we could do and hung up. And as soon as I did, the Spirit began to trouble me. You know, you need to do this. And then the memory of the residue from the service came back, and the residue from the week when he visited with me. And I suddenly had confidence. It was just confidence, because I just moved in the presence of the Lord, just moved with the Spirit in me. And I thought, oh, I can do this. The Lord will go with me. And then the very first thing that I thought was, take someone with you. And so I called. I called someone who I knew would be able to minister with me in a situation like that. And we went, and God showed up. I mean, we ended up on the psychiatric ward in a hospital, and we ended up in a main room where there was other people and a television was going, and all of a sudden a nurse comes from nowhere. She says, oh, would you like a private room? I have a special room right over here where you can be alone. I knew she was a believer. She was watching. She saw we were from a church. She knew this lady needed help. She found us a private space. We went in and we had the room all to ourselves. And God showed up. It was so wonderful, wasn't it? It was really neat. I mean, it was just blowing through the room. I could feel it almost like a current, like a wind. And this woman was touched. And when we left, I like had more confidence than I ever had. I was like, okay, yeah, we can do this. We can do this. And that's what that kind of a Sunday does. The residue stays with you. And then you put your foot a little more and you put your little foot in. It's just cool.
Who's next? Raise your hand.
I'll stand up. Last Sunday, Jerry came up as we were worshiping and he was anointing people. And he was anointing me. He said, the Lord's going to give you the double portion of what he promised you a long time ago in the gifting that he had put in me. And so I got reminded about a month ago that from Dolores Greer, when I was at work, she goes, you know, the Lord didn't put you here just to work as a tech. And I said, yeah, I know, you're right. And so that began to sink in as the weeks were going on. And then last Sunday, after being anointed and stuff like that, I begin to see the Lord just opening doors up. People just come up, and they start talking to me, and then they start telling me their life story. And it's just like Brian said, it's not you, Brian, wherever you are. It's the Lord. He opens the door up. They begin to tell you things, and then it's almost like they're embarrassed a week later. They don't even want to see you because they say, I can't believe I told you that. You know, and it just gives you an opportunity to go in and begin to go before the Lord on their behalf because Brian, like Brian said, and like all of us know, we can't do a thing about it. We can just begin to beseech the Lord to begin to do something for them. Because what happens in a lot of these cases, they'll come back later and says, you know what, the strangest thing happened, and then they'll begin to give you the details of what's turned around in their lives.
Amen. That's amen. Go ahead. Let me make a comment and then have you. That is such a powerful testimony, Dave. Because what it does when you begin to take it to the Lord and they begin to report back to you kind of, you know, the parallels between the petition you've made and the intervention of God become so clear that the facts of the correlation are undeniable to them, whatever their mentality is. So, brother, God bless you in that. You keep it up.
My nephew showed up a week ago last Monday at my door from Miami by himself, unannounced, at 10:30, and totally surprised me. Usually when I get a lot of phone calls or visits from him, I know it's that he's dealing with stuff. He is 22 years old, has a one-and-a-half-year-old baby. He's been married for just about 1.5 years, so do the math. Has been having great difficulty trying to be a provider for his little family with not having finished college. And there's just a lot going on, a lot of stressors. He hasn't been sleeping well. He walks around at night. And when the call was made last Sunday, which he wasn't going to come last Sunday, and I told him, come on, you got to come. He says, are we coming right home afterwards? I said, of course we are. So his thing is, I mean, obviously he was dealing with stuff and being around so many of God's people is disturbing to people that are dealing with stuff. So when the call was made for people that were having trouble with tormentive spirits, it just took one look from me and he was, yes, I know it's me. So he came up here. And I wasn't going to pray for him because I know what he's been dealing with. I wanted him to know that it was God. So he came up here, and Mary Wallace was here, and Keith, and Nancy Knight, and I asked them, would you pray for him? They don't know him. They don't know anything about him, and they hit it on the money. I mean, the Lord just used them tremendously. They told him things that only God could have known, that he cried. If you were here, you saw him, I'm sure. he cried and wept and left so encouraged. I quickly got home and typed up everything that I could remember that was said to him because, like we've all heard, we kind of forget it or it kind of goes away a few days later. But I typed everything up that I remember hearing and gave it to him and told him that he needed to keep that and read it occasionally. He left very refreshed, very encouraged, very different. He had a dream that night, and he says he doesn't dream often. And when he told me the dream was very symbolically of all the things that were done, that were said to him on Sunday. So he received it as knowing that it was God, and God followed it up with a kicker, the dream. So I praise the Lord for that, and I pray that he'll continue to seek him.
Recall the woman at the well and her response to her encounter with Jesus. She said to her community, "Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done." God, by His Spirit, moving through us, is the most significant event in the life of another human being. We'll get you a temple. I've got one standing right over here.
After we were anointed, the ministry people, they put us with a prophetic type person. So I was with Alexia, and just in case some of you haven't ever heard this before, you know, you go in praying for someone, and a lot of these people I did not know because there was new people, and you don't worry about what's going on because it's not us, it's a God thing. So I'm just praying, Lord, it's not us, it's just God. And I was so impressed, Lanny, with the way your prophetic people would just reach these people that we were praying for. Micah was there for one person. And it was just, they would say something that meant absolutely nothing to us, but it would make the people we were praying for just break down. So I knew they were being touched. And throughout the whole thing, we had no idea what was going on, but there was something going on in these people. And in a way, it's kind of a plug for Eric Knight's ministry that he's going to be doing, the prophetic, or the altar ministry, because it's incredible to be up here and to be a part of that ministry. But I was so impressed how the Lord was working through Alexia and through Micah. And I just stood there and prayed. I mean, I really didn't do much, but it was the Lord. It was really the Lord doing it. And it's just really incredible to be a part of that thing, you know, to touch His people like that.
I'm glad to hear that, Mary. Nancy, I'm going to adjust one thing. It is never valid to say, "I didn't do much. I was just praying." You need to understand what's happening in the invisible realm when we pray. And that's the thing that keeps the heavens open for the prophetic to move with real authority and power. I will not allow prayer or intercession to be diminished at any level by anybody. It's one of the most significant gifts God has given us, and it empowers everything around us. You're an integral part of every word that was spoken, and you can take personal pleasure before the Lord that He allowed you to stand there and represent Him in intercession while He spoke the secrets of men's hearts. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, Mother dear.
Holy Spirit's been pushing me to do this. I've been sitting here just wondering.
Well, good. Just speak it out boldly. Quit apologizing about it. I want to hear it.
It seems so insignificant compared to so many other things. I'm a member of the CareNet group. And all fall, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just don't know how to pray like that. And this week, I've been pushed by the Holy Spirit. I've made 4 calls. One of them had no answer. I left a message. But I've talked to 3 different groups. And I just feel like now the Holy Spirit is showing me I can do it. So that coming year, I'll be able to do it better.
Amen.
And more often.
Amen.
I found out that one of our groups that I was supposed to call are not here anymore, the Tomasos.
Uh-huh.
So I talked with her anyway. She called and answered the phone for me, and it just gave me confidence. So I know the Holy Spirit has done this. And I didn't even come up there to be prayed for.
Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want you to miss how inspiring that testimony is. Because clearly, she didn't just graduate from high school. And she's saying, God has opened up a new vista of communion with the Holy Spirit for me so that I can be a practical help in the lives of people who I carry in my heart. We have a destiny and appointment with the Holy Spirit through and beyond our last breath. Hallelujah to God for that. Well, it shouldn't surprise you that we have prophetic words of encouragement from this morning. And I'm going to give them to you before I give our last little segment here. Angels present today to minister to our body. You understand that the angels are the ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. That's their job. They should be here. And apparently from some of the seers, they're here in great quantity today. Grace of God is flowing over us this morning. Grace and anointing to give over to God our concerns, worries, and desires. Where's Mary? Somebody give my microphone to Mary. I want you to share that thing you shared with me earlier in the worship service today. This is the moment.
This week we had an event take place with one of our children that had the potential to be tremendously life-impacting. And there was a problem in the sequence of events that shouldn't be taking place. And there was nothing I could do about it. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't manipulate it. I couldn't change it. I couldn't do anything. And as I was crying out to the Lord, my heart's cry was, how do I give this to you? How do I give it to you in such a fashion that I'm free from it? Not that I could ever tie God's hands, but my heart was that he would be free to work in his God way of working. So I want to show you what the Lord gave me, and just do it with me. Because even in that moment, as the Lord gave it to me, I heard him whisper that it was a corporate gift. So everybody who wears glasses, take them off. You don't have to be able to see to do this, so don't worry about it. I'm going to talk you through it. So, Keith, if you'd hold this for me. This is what the Lord instructed me to do. Take your hands, and I'm sorry I can't spin around like an owl or something, but take your hands.
Because if you did that.
Yeah, I know. I'd be taking your class. I'd have to take your class in January. Okay, take your hands and put them on either side of your face. Make your hands so that they're like a scoop. And you're going to take your hands and push forward on your face and take everything that comes off and just give it to the Lord. And you're going to feel him take it from your hands and just release it and let your hands fall away. And when the enemy comes in to lie to you and say, that was baloney, stick your hands on the side of your face again. Just do it with me right now. Stick your hands on the side of your face. Push forward toward the heavens. And just give that whole thing to the Lord and just release it. And watch what he'll do.
That's a wonderful visual, Mary. Thank you for that. Grace and anointing to give over to God our concerns, worries, and desires. Now, that's an important part of the story, Mary, because suddenly we're inspired. This time, when you give them up to God, there's an anointing not to pick them up again. And that's the difference between trying to give it to God with flypaper hands and having God receive it and take it away. And if the anointing is here for your concerns, then I suggest you respond while the anointing is present. Don't wait to make another date for when the anointing is not as manifest and it ends up being another effort to set something loose that's stuck to you. Others of you, I hear the cries of men's souls this morning. Nothing has satisfied or brought peace. God is hearing these overwhelming cries and is prepared to bring you to a place of rest, peace, and community. That which you desire and cry out for is here this morning. And I saw in the Spirit that as we were surrender, God has lifted us up off the ground, and we begin to float, floating like a cloud. Third portion, a picture of a mansion with crumbling houses within. Am I reading this correctly? A picture of a mansion with crumbling houses within is our own agenda. Is that supposed to be crumbling walls? Okay. As I recall, it was a mansion with crumbling walls. Within is our agenda, our own efforts to fulfill our needs. God's hand was reaching down to each of us. His fingers were lifelines that as they touch us, we become integrated into one living vine, united as one family, one body, with all of our needs fulfilled. Now, images of promise like that should inspire a response, as might this one for you ladies. I saw a woman kneeling in reverence to her king. Jesus was behind her and laid his hands on her head to affirm her very gently. She was his very dear friend. Her beauty was a reflection of his love for her. He was the real love of her life. She was his humble, faithful servant. But he was revealing to her the valiant warrior he'd forged her into. This wasn't an aspect of herself she recognized yet. I believe the Lord was behind her because she has been being prepared to lead. I sense the Lord wants to affirm women in their identity with Him. Now, my closing comments are an interplay of scriptures, and I'll just give them to you and show you what they mean. In Mark 11:23, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that which he says is going to happen, it will be granted him." You know that. Another, when they heard he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. Another, and afterward he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. Now these things are about responding to the testimony of the truth. Faith gets released when we hear the word. In Romans, where that says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, the translated into English from the Greek word is rhema. And that's what God says in the moment. It is not what you read in the Bible and then speak. It's not your memory verse. It's that which God says in the moment. We've heard many testimonies this morning in response to what Jerry was able to say by the Holy Spirit in the moment. There are other things that have been spoken here that are, in fact, because they have been said as rhema to the person who spoke it. Faith has been released in the moment. And the testimony of those things is this. And when they heard the message, many of them believed. And the number came to be about 5,000. I have this confidence in the Lord. Whatever He has said today that He's done for others, He is willing to do again for you. In particular, I'd like to have Patty and Marilyn and who is the other? The two of you, if you'd come stand to my right over here. Peggy, you come join them, will you please? And Molly. To you women who need to be received in your place in the kingdom, I present to you four women who have accepted their place in the kingdom. And because of the confidence God has placed in them as to their ability to serve His purposes, I offer them their arms, their word of encouragement, and their embrace to you to receive you and affirm you in the things to which God has called you. For others of you, those of you in particular, who need to release things and not take them back, I encourage you to take and submit to the Lord in the fashion, if you will, as Mary showed you this morning, what God said to her as a corporate gift. Whether it be your right to be in control, your need to look right or sound right or be right, whatever it is, please do not act like the Pharisees. Do not hear and refuse to hear. Do not see and refuse to see. But if God says His anointing is here to set you free, then for heaven's sakes, take Him up on it. Walk out of here free. Let Him enlarge the borders of your understanding. Now, as some of you guys who do move prophetically, we just kind of gather over here, we'll make available to those who desire an opportunity to receive prayer on your behalf just to see what the Lord might say to them. So, all right, Jerry and Rhonda and Marie and Pat and Dave and all right, now would be good. And I'll have the rest of you stand and we can go in two directions, downstairs to eat, up forward to receive meat that you know not of. I want to thank so much those of you who did linger with us last week. I felt like God had just woven the whole morning together in such a fashion we actually were able to see Him, reconnect us to Him and reconnect us to one another. And it didn't just stop. How many of you enjoyed the fellowship last week and felt like it was just some kind of warm fuzzy around it? What God was doing didn't end here, because one of our 13-year-olds had invited one of their classmates to come to church. And they said, well, you know, I'm not a Christian and I got problems in my life. And our little 13-year-old said, well, lots of people have problems. You just need to repent and get on with it. And so sitting across from the table from Walter last week, they had this, I'm not born again, what do I do to be born again conversation. And Walter said, let me show you. And so he did. Sitting around the lunch table. It's important we realize that God will spill over wherever we will allow Him to spill over. So those of you who are desirous of prayer, you know that God stirred something in your heart that He'd like to do business with you, then come to this side of the altar. Those of you ladies who understand that there's a transition going on in your life, the Lord is saying things very clearly to you about His desire over you, His purposes through you, and He's awakening things in you, come and let these ladies receive you and bless you and pray for you. And I release the rest of you to the food downstairs. We'll join you in a few minutes. Father, we thank You so much for the testimony of Your grace. We ask that You would attend to us even as we pray, as we eat, as we fellowship. Allow this season of Your grace and mercy to overtake us in such a fashion we find ourselves strengthened in our inner man and more clearly focused on Your purpose in the kingdom through us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see y'all downstairs or at the altar.